Celebrating Christmas, what is the message of Christmas in the book of Genesis? Well, we break Christmas, we gather together, and this time it so happened that Jacob also gathered his children. And maybe I say that it's this message to us is a message not only for everyone, but specifically for parents when they gather and say their peace during Christmas. This is a right time for us to share our heartfelt message for our children. The way we behave, there's ripples. Can you agree that behavior can affect your lifestyle? Our behavior today would affect our life tomorrow. Our life practices, it reveals our mindset, it reveals our priorities in life. What is it that we prioritize? When we say we prioritize the Lord, how are we managing our time, our life, our approach of life? This Christmas, we have also practices, we have cultural practices, and others will come to know if we really prioritize our beliefs. What is one thing that you would you have experienced or maybe most cherished during Christmas? For children, it's about exchanging gifts. Have you ever experienced exchanging gifts? I've been discouraging exchanging gifts for quite some time now. Listen carefully before you react or disagree or get angry with me because of that. What is the essence? What is the real meaning? What is the spirit of exchanging gifts? If you give a gift, say worth $100, and then receive a gift of the same value, $100, did you really give? If you expect something in return, when you give something and expect something, that is not gift. That is exchanging items, or say, barter. It's barter, actually. Do you always appreciate what you get when you have exchanging gift? I remember that in our high school, my classmates would do wicked things, weird things. And you would not enjoy your Christmas, especially your Christmas gift. You would not appreciate it. So some people would give gift in expecting a similar or better gift that they could receive. And then when they receive it, I don't like this color. If it's not green, you don't give me green. Something like that. I love green. So. I use that word, color. Why not just buy yourself a gift you prefer, the color you want, the manufacturer you want, the brand you want? When I went the other day buy something, and the cashier said, "Do you need a gift receipt?" "No." "Why? This is your gift for yourself?" "Yes." "Yeah, I buy myself a gift for myself because I want that for myself." But if you just cannot resist the fun of these practices, exchange gift, why not try giveaway exchange? Give away exchange. Can you say that? Give away exchange. What is this? How is that? Now, for example, we in this church, we bring together items from our household, something like your tool. If you were formerly a mechanic and you do not want to do mechanics anymore, we bring your tool here. And if you were a painter before and you do not want the painting arts or something, you bring it. And if you want to dispose something that has been in that pantry you were not using anymore, like a collection of chinaware, you bring it. Or clothes that you think you did not like the color, or maybe you have outgrown it and somebody gave you medium and you are now small. Oh, great. From medium to small, okay. Bring it together and then put number in it. And then each person who had brought right corresponding number and raffle it. And the number you get the number from that. Now, Pastor, if I get something that I don't like, what would I do? Then give it away. Give it to someone who would not like it. If nobody wants it, then put it on the charity drop boxes. Or just put it in that building next to us. Do you know that? Restore Habitat. If you go there, there are many brand new items there that have been brought there, given by maybe contractors who have extras that they were not able to use. You might want to visit that habitat one day. Especially if you want to buy some Christmas decors or something, they can have it. Maybe you can find one. It's cheap. You know, sometimes it's 75%. I don't have any commission, you know. I'm not promoting it. I just want this building that because it helps the Habitat for Humanities to fund their projects. So why not do that? Now tell me, testify if exchanging gift practices have increased the blessedness of giving. Can you say that you are blessed when you give and you expect it to receive? If you expect to receive items as valuable as the items you give, the very basic of gift, the very meaning of gift has decreased, lessened, or cheapened, right? If you give gift to the people who are in need, like for example, people in the Philippines, they are in need, they will truly appreciate it. But if it is given to people who will give gift of the same value, the meaning of gift has been distorted or diminished. Have you ever tried to find out what's the meaning of gift? The word gifts pertains to something given voluntarily without payment in return. That is the gift, meaning of gift. To show favor towards someone, honor an occasion with the gift, and make a gesture of assistance, a present. Gift is something bestowed or acquired without any particular effort from the recipient. Gift is not earned. Gift is not even deserved. This Christmas season, we are reminded of the greatest giver of gift, God. God gives the greatest gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. When you don't, that is the meaning of gift. To all who believe in Christ, we are given eternal life. Ask yourself, did you receive God's gift of eternal life? Are you sure that when Christ comes today, you would surely enter heaven? What if? See? You know, evangelism explosion. Evangelism explosion, they would train you with that diagnostic question. And many among us can answer those diagnostic questions, but it's all in the mind, but not in the practices, but not in the behavior. Why would God give eternal life for free? The gift of eternal life practically proves. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, let's read this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Can you read that again? It is more blessed to give than to receive. One more time. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the word there is blessed. Blessed. It is more blessed. It's not, it's better to give. It is better to give. It's not better. It is more blessed. So, or better blessed. That should be. Don't forget that word, blessed. Blessed, what is the meaning of blessing? Blessing is supreme happiness. That is blessing. Anything that makes you extremely happy, deep inside. When you are happy, what you do? Do you shout, yeah, 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 yeah? That is not the supreme happiness. Most often, when you have that supreme happiness, you will not even say, you just want to feel it deep inside you, and then tears will drop from your eyes because of that happiness. If you have experienced that, that is one example of being blessed. Whatever caused you that, maybe because you were praying for a friend and then suddenly you see that friend who was sick and healed, and you know that you prayed so much time and that friend was healed, and you just feel that blessedness in you that God answered your prayer. Something of that. Nobody can outgive God. We know that. Nobody can surpass the generosity of God. We understand that. Nobody can exceed the blessedness of God. We need to internalize that and understand that. But God wants us to experience this blessedness of giving, and He challenges us to give, especially to the needy. Look at this. This blessedness is an invitation. It's not even a command. Invitation to be more blessed, to be more blessed. Did not say, you give so that you will be more blessed. No, it did not say there. It says, it is more blessed. It just presented it. And who would accept that? It's only by faith that we can accept it. So how can we accept that? We need to have increase of faith. Oh Lord, I just cannot conceptualize this. I just cannot accept that. But help me increase my faith that I believe that statement. I believe that reality. So how can we practice real giving without expecting something in return? Now, pray for opportunity to share your blessings, especially to the churches in the Philippines, church planters and seminary students in the Philippines. Our short-term missionaries will be going next year, 2020, and meet possible recipients, churches, church planters, seminary students. And when they return, they will meet together and decide which church should we ship that mission box. You have that mission box at the foyer. It's almost covered the bottom of it. So that's progressing. And I pray that you would sense the spirit of giving this Christmas. We'll be filling that with school supplies, something that may be shipped to students. You do not need to ship shoes, perhaps maybe children would be in views with you, sheep, one shoes, and person. Have you watched the SEA game, Southeast Asian game? Great. Have you watched that news about that high school student from our student from Iloilo? It promotes Nikes. They don't have any shoes, but the coach wrap their feet with plaster, bandage it, and put Nikes, and put that. What is that? I don't know that if it is Czech or something. That logo of Nikes. But they won. Using that, plaster, that girl and his partners, there were three of them, and they won gold in athletics. It was nice, but it breaks our hearts to see that we here, we just toss the shoes there. Oh, the children will complain. That is not Nikes. It's Adidas. I don't like Adidas word balance. Canada balance. Oh, there you go. Nikes with S. So pray and that we may be able to fill that box there, placed on the foyer. And just pray that your gift would be given to a child who would be very thankful. And we don't know. We'll leave it to the Lord if God would use that. There was this story about that. Actually, it's more, I think, of the Samaritan purse story. One child, 7 years old, put in a box and put a letter there, his name and address and picture, 7 years old. And then somebody got that box back in the Philippines, a young girl in the Philippines. And when that young girl was 14, internet was, she started to search for the name of that boy who gave that box. And they exchanged message. At first, the American was very, maybe this is a sham, this is a hoax, this is an, but when the girl sent that picture, the boy remembered that was the picture I put on the box. Maybe you can do that too. You know what happened? They got married. The boy is already, I think, 17, 19, visited the girl in the Philippines and then invited them to U.S. and then got married. That's a good story. Maybe you can have one too, one day. Maybe, I don't know. Now let's learn from Jacob. And Jacob, in Jacob's life, when they gathered, his children, it shows that behavior has effect on blessings. Behavior of his children has affected their blessing. When Jacob sensed that he was about to die, gathered and blessed his children, and he declared visions for his sons. Let's read again verse 1 and 2. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around that so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel." Now Jacob and Israel is one person. You know that Jacob gathered his sons around him, declared his vision for them. His blessing was exclusive for his sons only. No blessing was intended for his servants or his neighbors. That time it was for his children. When Jacob exclusively blessed his son, that was a picture of the Lord when he exclusively blessed believers. He calls his children who gathered before him. Now, when we gather together, God bless us. Why? Because it's a command to gather, to assemble together, to encourage one another. Each time you come here, you are already a blessing. Nobody come into this church, nobody would gather in a church that God did not bestow his grace. It is by grace that we decide. If we follow our human lifestyle, if you follow our human effort, if we follow our human nature, where would you be today? I would be there in the snow, fishing. Snow fishing, ice fishing. If I were to follow my human nature, how about you? When we gather as children of God, listen carefully to what he tells us specifically. Our Heavenly Father will certainly bless us. Can you agree with that? Can you say amen if you agree? Amen. You are blessed indeed. We believe that the Lord speaks to us very personally through every part of the service. So don't miss the opening prayer. It could be at the opening prayer, the Lord would speak to you. Do not miss the closing prayer. It could be at the closing prayer, the Lord would speak to you. I strongly suggest that is one of your, if you write your New Year's resolution, have you write one? That to be to attend especially church services, not on time, but before time. Because if you come on time, there will be cramping at the door. You cannot enter at one time. If you are on time, everyone is on time, right? So come earlier and have coffee. Coffee will be served. You know what? The songs we sang, or the readings that we have, it could be that at that reading, the Lord would speak to you. You would see that little girl who grew up, Sophia. I remember when she first came here, she was one of those like the young children running around. She was that young before, but 10 years after, she is here leading, song leading. Why not that inspire you? A young person's life can inspire us older people to keep on. Wow, look at that. And you want to be inspiration to young children too. And that's a blessing for you. Your life, they are observing. The Lord's personal message to each of us, it is his godly instruction to bless us. So listen carefully when God speaks, because he might want to bless you, but you just miss it because you just ignore it. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, let's read this together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, when we need that. Especially if you missed many of the Filipino food back in the Philippines. Or maybe you miss speaking to your kababayan. You come. Every generation faces unique challenges. In the first generation, previous generation have different challenges of life. Next generation, they have different challenges of life. Problems in previous centuries or next millennia, they may not have this similar, they may not be similar in this generation, but the eternal creativity of our Creator helps us solve problems, and that we would appreciate it. How God solved the problems in this generation, how God solved our problem, the next generation will learn from us. And we also understand that God, our Creator, is very creative eternally. Many Christians in these generations have been discouraged. More and more Christians have been discouraged. You hear about Christians taking suicide, pastors on suicide. Those are practical picture of discouragement, depression that we experience. Believers can encourage other believers, right? Now you see this person, he is not as rich as you, and yet that person is very faithful. How are you not encouraged? This person, this is not very good looking person or not so good voice, and yet present himself, herself, sing on stage, help. You can say, oh, mas magandang boses ko dyan. No, it's not about the magandang boses that the Lord wants. It's the heart that the Lord wants. Because the Lord doesn't want to hear, mayabang na boses. No, that's not. Why? If he wanted the voice, beautiful voice, he just would listen to his angels, not to us. But why do we sing with our cracked voice? It's our way of expressing our worship and thankfulness to God. One way to express our worship. And your life, when you join the ministry, it inspire others to go, come. It encourages one another. Regular fellowship encourages others. Practically speaking, fellowship with fellow believers has advantages. There's practical advantages for you who are applying for employment. How? You can have your fellow believer to be your character friends. Did you know that? Have you ever had a call asking you, nasubukan nyo ba na nagiging character reference na isang tao? Do you know what they ask? Can you give me that slide? This is some of the questions that potential employers would ask to people who would, if you ask them for a reference. What can you say about the work ethic of this applicant? How much supervision is needed for this applicant? Would you recommend this applicant for us? What are the strengths and weaknesses of this applicant? How does this applicant get along with coworkers and management? What else do I need to know about this applicant that I didn't already ask? Those are the things, many things. There are more things that they would ask. So if you use my name as your reference, come and help me understand more about you, I will give a very good recommendation. Many times I would say, this is what I know. And from that, they would understand. How could I know you? How could other people know you? Fellowship with one another, and that would help. See, if you frequently fellowship with other believers, and this is a reminder for a man, we have fellowship this Saturday. Each one can learn more about your positive attributes and give better recommendation statement, right? Now, this is also to encourage the younger people, especially you in college. You haven't had this yet, but this surely will happen to you. So attend fellowships, and older people here would know, learn more about you, and they would recommend you very nicely. Furthermore, learning from one another, we also learn how our brothers and sisters would apply what they learn in life about the Word of God. Learning more and taking time to listen to the Word of God will certainly make you wiser, more than what you can learn from secular institution. If you think that your training in the university is enough, no. If you listen to the Word of God, it is a plus factor, far plus factor than you can imagine. It says in Psalm 119:5, Psalm 119:130, let's read this together. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Your word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, that is very simple statements, but it takes faith. It takes wisdom from the Lord to understand it. Now, when you decide, especially when you decide, this is one thing when you decide, you apply for many jobs, and then you are rattled which job you would take, because this job would give you a very nice benefits, and this job is the job that you want so much. But this job is also, you have some friends there that you can rely on in times of problem. How do you choose that job? The Word of God enables you. God's Word enables you to be wise. Not just, oh, I like to be like this and like that. No. Decide based on God's Word. So ask the Lord for wisdom. He gives you light on your path. It makes your path brighter. Learn from David. Psalms is attributed to King David. King David did not have that luxury of university education. He was just a shepherd. But he was wiser than all his enemies. Most of his enemies may have been children of kings that they became kings. And so if you are children of kings, then you have the best education available in the land. But David was wiser than all his enemies. And he was the greatest king of Israel until now. His best training guide, what was it? The Word of God. So know God's will. Know the will of God for you. It helps us make great decisions in life. To follow the will of God, it affects our behavior, our lifestyle, and our future. Returning to Jacob had personally learned that obedience to the Lord's brought blessing to his life. When he obeyed the Lord, he was more blessed. And as a father, he desired, I believe, that his son should follow his lifestyle, that they would obey the Lord, that they would listen to the Lord. And he expected his firstborn son, Reuben, to be the symbol of his strength, the symbol of his vitality, the symbol of his vigor. Let's read again, verse 3 and 4. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power, turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel, for you went up unto your father's bed, unto my couch, and defiled it. Jacob had expected that Reuben, his firstborn son, would become a living symbol of excellence and might. Firstborn child has a special place in the heart of most parents or fathers like Jacob. Jacob said verbally that Reuben, his firstborn, was the sign of his strength, vitality, or vigor. What does that mean? Well, children are proofs of manhood. And when sons are born first, they add more affirmation to the productivity, the energy or vigor of manhood. There's pride for fathers to have sons. For some, it may not matter most if boy or girl would come first, but for paternal cultures like the Israelites, sons are cherished because they carry the name of their family. In maternal culture, daughters are cherished. They carry their family name. Did you know that? We have classmates back in Meghalaya, that is northeast of India, where there is this tribe. You know where? You know what I'm saying? Okay, picture this. This is India, and this is the northeast, and next is Bangladesh in between. So there's that. You can imagine that. But if you want to search for that, then go ahead. We have a classmate, a lady, and she was in English, the youngest. She is the youngest, and she carries the name, and she would inherit the family house and the house in lot, and somebody would try to court her, and she just denied, no, hindi pwede, I don't want it, I will waste my inheritance, because she is required to marry somebody in their clan, or else she would not be able to inherit that huge family house and the house in lot. That is that is a maternal culture, and the family name of the mother is followed. Ganun po sa maternal culture. But here in Canada, you can use any name you want. Like, what else? What name do you want? If I would change my name, I would name myself Wat Wong. What Wong Weijia. Wat Wong Weijia. That's Chinese or Chinese Indian or something. I don't know. What wrong with me? What wrong with me? Yeah. Anyway, it says in Psalm 127, verse 3. Let's read this together. Verse 3, 4, and 5. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Ano po yung quiver? Ano meaning ng quiver? The quiver is something like a pouch kung saan ilalagay yung mga arrows. Yeah, ang quiver. Parang scabbard or something. Parents, can you agree that children are a heritage, a reward, a blessing from the Lord? Now, listen carefully. That's a tricky question, eh? If you think they are a heritage, they are a reward, they are a blessing of the Lord, why is it that most parents plan for the number of children they want to have? They don't want to have more blessing? More children, more blessing, right? Does it mean that they don't want much of heritage and reward from the Lord? Or are we just have very little faith that the Lord can sustain our needs? Now, our society dictates even the way we plan for the size of our family. And the Word of God does not tell us what number of is ideal for its family. Sabi ko kay Maribel, ilan anak natin? Sandusina. No. Bakit? Sandusina na kami, no? the 11 sila. And she doesn't like it. Anim kami sa amin. And I find it good. Anim. But, ang hirap yata maraming anak, di ba? Nasusunog yung sinasayang mo dahil kailangan umiiyak yung andon sa corner. Ano? Subukan niyo ba yun? It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Let's read this. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their household, has denied the faith, is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that is what drives Christians. Kung bakit nagpaplano. We've got to prayerfully make a choice to provide for our family. And we determine the number of children we can support until they can be independent. The reason many parents would have this number of children because they do not want to experience what they have experienced in the past. They don't like the idea of big families, especially if they come from bigger families. Still, others do not want to take care of children. No. Ayoko na nang, kagaya nang, yung, I will use my mother-in-law and my mother. My mother loved children. Nang lumaki na kami, our neighbors would come to our home kasi wala nang kasama ang nanay ko, nasa school na lahat kami. And they would call on, Mommy! And every children na andun, pupunta sa bahay doon, kakae. Hanggang ngayon, they have their own families and they still call my mother, Mommy, because of that. My mother-in-law, she had lot of, she married very young, 16, I think, or 13. And she had 11, and that was tough for her. She was a very bright woman, but because of many children, she was not able to pursue her dreams. Yung aking mother-in-law, kamag-anak ni Alma Moreno, if you know Alma Moreno from Cervantes. Ayan. And she doesn't really care about children, my mother-in-law. But I understand because she had taken care of many children in her life. When my brothers and sister had their children, lahat sila ng anak nila ay mga lalaki. Eh, nagsawa din ang naking nanay. Puro lalaki ang kanyang apo. Kaya nung pinanganak aming panganay, babae, eh yun, paborito. That is how grandparents would see children. Nagsasawa din, right? You just, what is sawa? Still others don't want to have children because they want to pursue their dream career. Gusto ko pang maging ganito, maging ganyan. But, listen carefully. When Christ returns, what will He ask us about parenting, parents? It says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, and Proverbs 29, verse 17, let's read this together. Start children on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delight you desire. Now pray about that. Pray about disciplining. Do not follow the way others discipline their children. God may give you the idea how to discipline because each child is very unique. You cannot treat your first child the way you treat your second child, the way you treat your third child, or the fourth child, or sixth child. No, they are different. Even if they are the same boy or the same girl, they cannot be treated the same way because they have different characters. Now, Jacob expected his firstborn son to excel in honor and power. Is it right to interpret that he trained his children with godly discipline? I agree. As a believer of the Lord, Jacob had surely advised his children regularly. This is how you do, this is what you do, this is what is best for you. But when Reuben was older, his lifestyle may have been influenced by other culture and followed their practices. Now, we didn't see that. It was not written here, but his action, it was not mentioned that his action was influenced by others. Now, why was that? It is because we are not supposed to blame others for our action. We act because we decide on it. To blame, oh, ikaw kasi, kaya ako itinulak mo. No, that could not be. Because even if you blame that person because of your action, then God would not punish that person. It's you who would be punished. It's you who would suffer. Like most Christian parents who wants their children to grow mature as God-fearing people, Jacob did his part for sure. He trained his children in godly discipline, but did not have that control of their behavior. And parents know that we cannot control the behavior of our children, especially in North America. Meron isang parents sa Australia sabi, makulit yung anak dahil doon merong child's right, kagaya dito may child's right. Sabi niya, we will go home in the Philippines, okay? Sa Pilipinas, pwede kitang paluin. Now, Reuben defiled his father's bed while Simeon and Levi were consumed with violence. But how are these people, how these children of Jacob behaved differently from Joseph? Now, let's read again verse 5, 6, and 7. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce in their fury, so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. Now, when Jacob, first time, he went look for a wife and returned with a family to Canaan. His daughter, Dinah, must have been very curious about the Canaanite people, how they live, and she visited the women in Canaan. And the son of the ruler of the land, Shechem, his name was Shechem, saw Dinah was so beautiful, and she abused her. And Dinah's brother, they were so furious when they heard what happened to her. But Shechem, she was in love, truly in love with Dinah, and she asked his father Hamor, "Father, can you tell the father of Dinah to give me Dinah as my wife?" And so Hamor, the father of Shechem, met with Jacob, and they talk about marrying. We can marry your children. You can marry our children. But Jacob's son said, "No, we cannot intermarry with you because you are uncircumcised. This is what you are going to do. You circumcise all the males and we will intermarry with you." Okay, because Shechem was so in love with Dinah, he asked all the men in that land, and they had circumcised. But after 3 days, while the men were still in pain, Simeon and Levi attacked and killed all males, including Shechem and his father Hamor. But where did Simeon and Levi get their idea? It says in Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25, let's read this together. "Do not make friends with hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourselves ensnared." Probably they had befriended somebody. We can only interpret that Simeon and Levi may have been influenced by other people they have encountered while they were pasturing, maybe other shepherds who are so can have that kind of a behavior, and or when they traded their ship or traded merchandise in items needed in their household. Well, Jacob did not like what they did, and he declared that Simeon and Levi will be scattered in Israel. Indeed, when the Israelites returned to Canaan, the promised land, the descendants of Simeon live among the descendants of Judah. And the descendants of Levi, they were scattered all throughout Israel. What can we learn from the declaration of Jacob's vision for his son? Ano po to? What is it that we are studying this for Christmas time? Why are we not talking about the birth of Christ? Well, many times you have heard about the birth of Christ already, but how do we react? How do we behave as Christians? What Jacob declared, these were prophecies of the future of the descendants of his sons. We can interpret that the behavior of his sons, these have ripples. You know ripples? What is ripples in Tagalog? No, I didn't search for that, so you go and search that. It may affect the future of their descendants. Can we also accept that our behavior has ripples or consequences affecting our life, our future, the future of our children? We may be acting something weird because we just want to do it, but no, for sure, our lifestyle, our practices as parents affect the lifestyle of our children. Like, for example, if you are a parent engaged in business, most likely your children will inherit your business. They will be engaged in business. And parents who love to serve the Lord, their children will follow them. Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. Let's read this together. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded he now lives in you also. That is a nice name if you are looking for a name for your children. Grandmother Lois and Eunice, God-fearing women. Pascal Paul commended his ancestor for setting a lifestyle of service to the Lord that he followed. And he mentioned, as reminder, encouragement for Timothy to live like the faith of his grandmother Lois and mother Eunice. There was not much record about the ancestors of Apostle Paul and the lifestyle of the grandmother and mother of Timothy. But when Apostle Paul mentioned them, it reminds us of our lifestyle. People may not be talking more about how much we have gained, what car we drive, how many fish we fished, how many games we win in ball games. They don't talk about that. How many trophies we collect, how many medals we collect. Are those the things that they would tell? No, they would tell about your faithfulness serving the Lord. Truly, our behavior will certainly affect the lifestyle behavior of our descendants one way or another. Apostle John wrote in 3 John verse 3 and 4, let's read this together. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Are you convinced that parents who are genuine Christians have joy when their children serve the Lord? greater than that joy of greater than accumulating material abundance. Now, would you rather see your children become billionaires like Bill Gates or something, somebody, or serving the Lord, or becoming somebody who is very popular in the government? Joy in our hearts come from Jesus Christ. This morning we light the orange candle, which represents joy. Do you have that joy in your heart? Parents, do you have that joy in your hearts to see your children serving the Lord? Just as the candle continue to shine when there is light in it. It's not light. It's not shining. It's not shining because there's no light in them. But these three, they have lights and they keep shining because it continues to light. The light is there. How can we have life shining? The Lord is light. The Lord Jesus, the light of the world. And we continue to experience that joy that comes from the Lord. Truly, we still have struggles, difficulties, concerns in life, like persistent problems. We want healing. Healed with physically, healed emotionally, healed relationally, financially. How would you face those things? How would you celebrate Christmas with joyful heart? It says in Proverbs 17:22, let's read this together. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, that is very, really true, but don't end up there. Try to know where that cheerful heart comes from. It comes from the Lord. The Lord, the Spirit of Christ, produces love, joy, that is it. That joy, that cheerful heart comes from the Spirit of Christ. Let Christ prevail in your heart, and we've got that joy that shines in our life. It brightens every face. You know a smile when it comes from the heart. You sense that. You know a smile when it's just, what is it? Pakitang tao. What is that in English? Showing human. Kitang tao. And when one is so joyful, everyone sa paligid around becomes joyful because of you. Many of you are very smiley. You may not know it, but others are smiling because you smile, because you have that joy. Our behavior affects our day. Our behavior about life problem, even behavior of other people around us, there's these ripples of joyful behavior. Shall we stand up and search our hearts? Do I have that joy? Ask yourself, do I have that joy that Christ lives in me? Do I have that cheerful heart in me? Just ask yourself. Then, if there's anything that may prevent you to come near to God, ask the Lord to take that hindrance for you to experience that cheerful heart. hardness of heart. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit throughout this Christmas celebration and all throughout your life.